Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
All right. I'm Jada. I'm going on a trip soon, and I'm eagerly counting down every single second.
I'm Fatih. I'm 10 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we'll do today. Excited to have both Jada and Fatia here to chat. It's always nice when it's the three of us. And I know Fatia can't stay for very long, so we're going to have Fatia go first so we can make sure to hear from her today. What did you want to share today, Fatia?
I wanted to share a very small chapter, but I'm not going to share the entire chapter. I'm only going to share a few paragraphs. It's about Don Quixote, and it's chapter 15, I think. "I count for 100," replied Don Quixote, and without more words he drew his sword and attacked the Yanguises, and excited and impelled by the example of his master, Sancho did the same, and to begin with, Don Quixote delivered a slash at one of them that laid open the leather jerkin he wore, together with a great portion of his shoulder. The Yanguises, seeing themselves assaulted by only two men while they were so many, betook themselves to their stakes, and driving the two into the middle, they began to lay on the great zeal and in energy. In fact, at the energy blow, they brought Sancho to the ground, and Don Quixote fared the same way, all his skill and high mettle availing him nothing, and fate willed it that he should fall at the feet of Rochinette, who had not yet risen, whereby it may be seen how fiercely stakes can pound in angry, boorish hands. Then, seeing the mischief they had done, the Yanguises, with all the haste they could, loaded their team and pursued their journey, leaving the two adventurers a sorry sight and in sorrier mood.
Cool. Is that a book that you're reading for school or reading for fun?
I'm just reading for fun. I feel like we finished reading it wasn't like the entire book, but it was a red book, very small though. It was only 10 chapters.
Got it. I've never read Don Quixote, but I know a little bit of the story. My husband read it and really liked it and thought it was really funny, which is, I don't know. I feel like a lot of classics that I've read have not been very funny. So it's interesting when there's a funny classic novel. Like, it's more common that they're dramatic, the books that we consider classics.
Don Quixote is very dramatic.
It's dramatic too. Yeah. There's a lot of adventure, but there's a lot of humor too. That's cool. You're enjoying that story. Maybe you'll read the whole thing someday. It's a huge book, but I hear it's a page turner. Well, thanks for sharing that. Jada, what did you want to share today?
Today I was going to share, I've been able to get back into reading more regularly, which is great. And I was reading a bit of the Odyssey. I usually don't read that kind of stuff, but I figured might as well read the classics. I'm going to do it eventually, so might as well get a head start. And it's very hard to read, at least for me, because it's old-timey style poem. And I don't really understand prose like that. But so far, from what I can tell of the story, it's pretty interesting. And of course, I have to skip half of it just to get the main idea. But that's okay. So yeah, that's what I've been reading.
What might be helpful, or what I've found helpful sometimes when reading books that are challenging with their wording, is to, as I'm reading it, also to read a chapter summary somewhere online, so that you can make sure that you caught everything that was going on if you're not sure. I used to do that when I'd read things that were really challenging in terms of old-fashioned writing or fanciful writing, or if it was something that I was reading for Spanish class in high school and I wanted to make sure that I had read it correctly, I would do that. That was before you had translate apps, but yeah. I've never read the Odyssey either. There's all these classics I haven't read, and will I ever? Perhaps. We'll see. But what made you choose that one? Was it handy, or was it one that you specifically
Yeah,
sought out?
it was around.
It was around.
So mom picked
Oh,
it up for me.
got
And
it.
so I read it.
Yeah. Since you all were talking about classics, I thought I would shift what I was planning to talk about, although maybe I'll talk about that as well. But as I've mentioned on the show before, my mom and my niece and I often read books together. And the other day we decided to start a new book and we picked out a classic. And I'm curious because I haven't been able to connect with them the last couple of days, and I'm not sure if we're going to switch books or not because it was a pretty challenging book for my niece. She's a very good reader, but it definitely has some like outdated words used or like ways of writing. I really like it. I think it's fun, but I can see how it was confusing for her, especially she didn't have the book in front of her yet. So I was reading it out loud. And I found it sort of challenging even to read out loud because there were some pretty run-on sentences. But the book is Anne of Green Gables by L.M. Montgomery, which I have never read somehow. And I watched a mini series, or I guess it was a film. I always thought of it as a mini series, but I think it is actually just a film version of the story as a kid that I loved. And I watched it over and over and over again. So I feel like I know the story pretty well. I think it was a pretty Boyle adaptation of it, but I'd never read the book, so decided it was time. So even if my niece and my mom and I don't continue to read it, I will. But here, let's see. I can read you to show you to explain some of the writing. I think the first paragraph is just one sentence. Yeah, so I'll read you the first sentence, also known as the first paragraph of this book. So the first chapter is called Mrs. Rachel Lynde is Surprised. Mrs. Rachel Lynde lived just where the Avonlea main road dipped down into a little hollow fringed with alders and ladies' eardrops and traversed by a brook that had its source away back in the woods of the old Cuthbert place. It was reputed to be an intricate headlong brook in its earlier course through those woods, with dark secrets of pool and cascade, but by the time it reached Lynde's Hollow, it was a quiet, well-conducted little stream, for not even a brook could run past Mrs. Rachel Lynde's door without due regard for decency and decorum. It probably was conscious that Mrs. Rachel was sitting at her window, keeping a sharp eye on everything that passed from brooks and children up, and that if she noticed anything odd or out of place, she would never rest until she had ferreted out the whys and wherefores thereof. So that was the first sentence of the book. It was very long.
I would have, you lost me halfway through the first. So,
Yeah, it's hard. There's a good use of semicolons in there to make it into a one sentence. So, for those listeners that don't know, Anne of Green Gables is the story of Anne. I forget if she has a, what is her name? Anne Shirley. Shirley's her middle name. And she is an orphan who is adopted by Matthew and Marilla Cuthbert, who live on a homestead in on Prince Edward Island in Avonlea. And they mean to adopt a young boy who will be a farmhand on the farm because Matthew's getting older and could use some help out on the on their land because they have quite a bit of land. But they accidentally get a girl, and at first they're thinking of sending her back, but then they're worried about who she's going to end up with, and so they decide to keep her. And so it's about her, and I feel like the video version that I saw is pretty focused on her. There you see some of Matthew and Marilla and their other neighbors, but it's pretty focused on her story. So I'm curious if the book will be similar or how much it centers on other characters. But yeah, it's her getting used to her new home, her classmates, making friends, the adventures she has, her schooling. She's a very cool character. Yeah, she's spunky. She stands up for herself and she's very romantic and dramatic. I really enjoyed watching her story as a kid, and I'm excited to finally read it. So I'll finally check a classic off my list. It's hard to do sometimes. Jada's really good at it.
Yeah, it's just they were interesting me because they have to be really good to be classics or controversial in some way. So,
Do you have any favorites? Like if a young person had never read a quote unquote classic novel, what would you suggest they read?
Animal Farm or Pride and Prejudice?
Yeah, I really liked Animal Farm. I read that in high school the first time, and then I read it again as an adult and enjoyed it both times. And I still have to read Pride and Prejudice. It will happen someday. It also depends on what, like who the young person is, how old they are, what I would suggest, because I feel like I also, like I enjoyed as a teen, I enjoyed Lord of the Flies and Fahrenheit 451 and some Agatha Christie novels. And then I didn't read them as a teen, but I think I would have liked them as a teen. As an adult, I enjoyed some of the Kurt Vonnegut stories. Oh, and I liked Jane Eyre as a teen as well. But Jane Austen does seem like a good fit, which you had mentioned, Pride and Prejudice. I feel like her stories are pretty engaging. The characters are interesting. I guess I can talk about one not classic book that I just started, so I haven't gotten too far into it, but it is a young adult novel. It's called Going Bi-Coastal, and I'll read the description. A queer sliding doors YA rom-com in which a girl must choose between summer in New York City with her dad and the girl she's always wanted, or LA with her estranged mom and the guy she never saw coming. In Dahlia Adler's Going Bi-Coastal, there's more than one path to happily ever after. Natalia Fox has 24 hours to make the biggest choice of her life. Stay home in New York City for the summer with her dad and finally screw up the courage to talk to the girl she's been crushing on, or spend it with her basically estranged mom in LA, knowing this is the best chance she has to fix their relationship, if she even wants to. Does she want to? How's a girl supposed to choose? She can't. And so both summers play out in alternating timelines. One in which Natalia explores the city, tries to repair things with her mom, works on figuring out her future, and goes for the girl she's always wanted. And one in which Natalia explores the city, tries to repair things with her mom, works on figuring out the future, and goes for the guy she never saw coming. So basically, those two sentences were very similar. So the main character, her parents had divorced when she was fairly young, and at some point her mom had moved out to LA. So her dad and she live in New York City, and her mom lives in LA, and she feels disconnected from her mom. And then her mom invites her to come stay with her for the summer in LA. She lines her up an internship and thinks it'll be a good opportunity for them to get to know each other and also to have this work experience. But she has to decide, does she want to do that or does she want to stay in New York? And so very early in the book, it splits into two timelines where it alternates. I think it pretty much alternates between chapters. I haven't caught if it's literally every other chapter, but you'll have a chapter where she's decided to move out to LA for the summer and explore that future for herself, and another timeline where she's staying in New York City and she has both like interactions with her parents in both and trying to figure out her relationship with her mom in both, but then she also has a romance possibility in both. So there's a girl that she's been crushing on in New York City who she finally connects with and gets to explore that relationship, and then out in LA she has a potential romance out there too with a young man that was a unexpected potential crush. So I found it at the very start, right when it first split, I found it a little confusing because I was listening to the audiobook and all of a sudden there was a new chapter and an exact line of dialogue repeated, and I was like, wait, what? Did I hit rewind by mistake? But it was just that in the initial separation of timelines, there's some commonalities because she's in the same place when it first split. But then once it's in two different settings, it was very easy to keep the storylines apart and kind of think of it as two different versions of the same character. And I thought it was interesting. And for the young listeners out there, or even some of the older ones that don't know about the sliding doors reference, there is a romantic comedy. There was more of a romance than romantic comedy, more rom than com, probably in the 90s. It was with Gwyneth Paltrow, where it was a similar concept of like two different paths that she could take, and it was a romance. And so, like, how did those timelines differ? What are the similarities or differences in those timelines? And how do these choices affect your life? So, I'm enjoying the book so far. I'm not very far into it, but I like the concept. And so far, I'm liking the story and the characters. So that's Going Bi-Coastal by Dahlia Adler. That's a book for teens. And before we go for the day, I could highlight a couple books that are coming out this month or that have come out this month in some cases that I think sound good. Can read the descriptions for those because I haven't read them yet, but I'm excited to once I get them in my hands. So I'll highlight three graphic novels to keep it in a theme. So first up is a book called Detective Sweet Pea, The Case of the Golden Bone by Sarah Varon. And I've really liked her work in the past. She did a book called Robot Dreams, which has been made into an animated feature that is currently in theaters. And I'm excited to see once it either comes around here or comes on to a streaming service. So I really liked Robot Dreams. And then she did one called Bake Sale that was super cute. I forget what some of the other ones are called. I've read some other books by her as well. But this one, again, is called Detective Sweet Pea, The Case of the Golden Bone. And here's the description. Can Detective Sweet Pea sniff out the suspect and crack the case? Sweet Pea's got a pretty sweet life. The animals in her hometown of Parkville have always gotten along with one another, and she's free to spend her days doing what she loves best, making art, hanging out with friends, and digging through the trash for tasty treats. When two new dogs move to town, Sweet Pea is eager to show them the sights and smells of Parkville, especially its most famous attraction, the one-of-a-kind Golden Chewbone. But the Golden Chewbone has vanished. Parkville needs a detective, and Sweet Pea's spectacular sense of smell makes her the perfect pup to crack the case. So this is the first book in a new series. I'm curious to check it out. I think her artwork is super cute and often very funny. So I'll definitely be reading this one as soon as I can. The next one I will highlight is called The New Girl, and it's by Cassandra Cailin. And oh, sorry, and the Sweet Pea one, in case it wasn't clear, that's for like a younger middle grade reader. This one is also a middle grade graphic novel. And so it's The New Girl by Cassandra Cailin, who I haven't read anything from her before, but the artwork looks interesting and it's gotten some good reviews. But here is the description for this one. Instagram sensation and tapas webcomic superstar Cassandra Cailin makes her long-form debut with this funny, feel-good middle-grade novel about change. Goodbye, old life. Leah and her family are waiting to board a flight across the Atlantic, leaving behind family, friends, and Romania, the only home Leah has ever known. But Leah's heartache is overshadowed by the discomfort of her first period. As if things weren't difficult enough, now Leah is thrust into a world where everything is different, her home, her language, and even her body. With so many changes happening at once, Leah struggles with her schoolwork, has trouble communicating with classmates, and has no idea how to manage her unpleasant periods. Will she ever feel like herself again? Inspired by the author's own immigration experience, The New Girl is a comically charming story about change and acceptance. I thought that sounded very interesting. I can imagine going through all those changes at once would feel like a lot for anyone. I'm curious to see how that's explored.
Okay, and so last but not least, I will share The Deep Dark by Molly Knox Ostertag, which is a graphic novel for teens. And Molly Knox Ostertag wrote several graphic novels, including the Witch Boy trilogy, which I really loved, and The Girl from the Sea, which I think was nominated for some awards. Can't remember if it won any, but nominations still great. But I still haven't gotten around to reading that one, so I can't weigh in on its greatness. So here is the description for The Deep Dark. Everyone has secrets. Mags's has teeth. Magdalena Herrera is about to graduate high school, but she already feels like an adult with serious responsibilities, caring for her ailing grandmother, working a part-time job, clandestine makeouts with a girl who has a boyfriend. And then there's her secret, which pulls her into the basement each night, drains her of her energy, and leaves her bleeding. A secret that could hurt and even kill if it ever got out, like it did once before. So Mags keeps her head down, isolated in her small desert community. That is, until her childhood friend Nessa comes back to town, bringing vivid memories of the past, an intoxicating glimpse of the future, and a secret of her own. Mags won't get attached, of course. She's always been strong enough to survive without anyone's help. But when the darkness starts to close in on them both, Mags will have to drag her secret into the daylight and choose between risking everything or having nothing left to lose. Ooh. That's The Deep Dark by Molly Knox Ostertag. So I'm excited to read that one. So yeah, so that one's a book for teens. And that one and The New Girl are both currently out. They've been released into the world, and the Sweet Pea one will be coming out next week. So you can start placing your holds on those, borrowing them from your libraries, finding them at your favorite bookstore, wherever you get your books. But yeah, those are some books on my radar for this week. I can share some more next week. Maybe I'll focus on the non-graphic novels next week, but I'm excited to check all those out.
Every time I come here, I have to expand my to-read list.
Yeah. Or are there any of those that seemed most interesting to you?
All of them.
All of them. Me too. That's why I shared them. Well, on that note, we're going to get back to reading. So we're going to say goodbye for the day. But we hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then.
Happy reading.
You